world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, good morning. It's Tuesday morning here, a little bit more rested than what I was yesterday. I want to say right off the top, I love hearing from you folks out there. Thanks for the emails of encouragement. I had like 160 emails catching up over the weekend, so it's hard to get to all of them and answer all of them. Some of you are sending me some tremendous links. David Arthur's here with me. We're going to play Ed McMahon and Johnny Carson here in a minute. And I just want to, I don't know what the numbers say, the analytics, I don't know that, but I know that our audience continues to grow, and I'm appreciative and humble of that. How do you even say it? Because it's really not about numbers, but it's the thing that's encouraging to me is, well, I'm finding fewer and fewer people who, when they watch it, are turned off. You know, a lot of them don't like my style. I hear from the women, sorry, they don't like the yelling. But I hear from the men say, oh, I love it. Love it when you get yelled. You get up close to the camera. Love it. Love when you do that. So, you know, we're trying to put a, we're just, this ain't an act, baby. This is just who I am, and try to bring to the table every day something that I think is significant. I go to the news reports in the morning. I got a list of, Jared would tell you, I got a list of stuff today that we can talk about that's a long and wide. And I got a lot more that, but thank you for being here. And it encourages me to, I come and I look, we got a full queue. We got 20, we can have one more maybe could hop in here. I think we got room for one more. And I'm thankful to all of you that are listening on the phone, and some of you are watching on the replays, and David just joined, so now there isn't anybody. I don't think there might still be room for one more in there. And so we're doing, David Arthur is here with me, and he drove in from Wisconsin and got here yesterday, and we did some ministry together yesterday. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But this show is not going to be about David Arthur, okay? But I want to slide in here a second. This dude used to be a woman. I mean, is that something? He doesn't even look like a woman at all anymore, does he? I mean, he doesn't at all. And to think that he was a woman, we had the most fascinating thing yesterday. I'll change the name to protect the innocent, if you know what I'm talking about. I took David to visit somebody yesterday, and the dynamic of that meeting was one of the most, it was pretty amazing. It was pretty amazing. Because when we went in, I didn't introduce David as a former tranny, homo, deviant. I didn't do that. I just let him sit down, and we kind of talked like normal people for it, because you are a normal people, aren't you? He's a normal people now. And so we get partway into the discussion, good way into the discussion, and talking to a guy who's had some recent illness and talking about that. And I said, hey, did you know that I pointed at David. Did you know that he got saved off his deathbed? He had AIDS, and guy looks at him, you know, doesn't know what to say. What happened? And David's got his cross hat on, which he doesn't have on now here. So David, let's get you back in uniform here. And David says, the Lord. And of course that started the conversation. I showed him the pictures of David with the big boobs and the long blonde hair. It was almost more than he could handle. Not David, my friend. It was almost more than he could handle. And he'd slide away in his chair, and his wife came down. This discussion's gone on, and it was a fascinating dynamic. And the buddy said, "So, are you still queer? Are you still a queer?" Okay. Okay. Hang on. Let me get my microphone here. It was a moment. Go ahead.
He said,
He said, "So, do you like women now, like real men?"
But you know, the thing that was so good about it was that's really where most people are. Those are the questions that people want to ask. And he, let's be honest here. Have you ever, before David Arthur, actually met a former transgender? Have you ever? I mean, it's like finding a nugget of gold out here in my creek. I mean, you just don't find it, right? And so there he was sitting right in his living room, a former trainee. And how many millions of questions, especially if you're not saved, not a saved guy, how many millions of questions do you have running through your head? And he was just bold enough to ask. But you still queer? So it was good. And today, David and I are, I'm gonna do a series of short little YouTube videos with David today. I'm gonna ask those questions. And you know, people don't like to watch 30-minute videos. They will, but they don't like them. So we're gonna create a series of 5 or 6, 7 or 8, however many 5-minute videos. I'm gonna ask David questions and let him answer it. And I think it's gonna be a real blessing. I'm still banned on Facebook, right? So I would do a Facebook Live. We may try to do the Facebook Live on David's page. And then share it to mine, although I don't even know if I don't know if we can even do that. So I'm still alive and kicking. I'm not dead. I've had people Facebook me. Where are you? I haven't heard from you. Where's your show? And so we keep trying to remind you that if you want to watch the show, go to CoachDaveLive.com. That's where the show will always be there. CoachDaveLive.com. And, so David and I, we're still, again, I don't want to publicly say we're working on some things. Some of you in the queue know what we're working on. So we just covered your prayer. Lord, folks out there right now, I think David Arthur's message is essential to get out. And so if you're watching right now and you don't know what we're talking about, I just ask that you would pray for open doors. That's all that would, we have our foot in the door. We have the door cracked. And we would just pray that you would pray that door would be open, that the Lord would open that door, that David would be able to minister. Because it's going to be a powerful, powerful thing. So some of you in the queue know what we're talking about. Those of you who probably aren't in the queue don't know what we're talking about. So I'm not going to make David sit here, like I said, like an organ monkey. I'm just going to give him the microphone, let him say a few things, and I'm going to boot him off stage and let him go watch the show like everybody else. Wait, what's on your heart here this morning, David?
I'm just
slide in here a little closer.
I just got to say that the Lord is so amazing. He truly will lead and guide our steps. And he truly does open up doors. And I want to thank Elizabeth, the activist mommy, for sharing my testimony yesterday.
David has 10,000 followers on his Facebook page. That's pretty good. Go ahead, David.
And I just want to thank her because no sooner I mentioned her to Coach, I received an email from her, which was a response from a few months ago.
It
was
folks, the activist ironic. Mommy, we go to church together. We're friends. Elizabeth, we're friends. I mean, we're friends. I've known Elizabeth 15, 20 years. We're friends, all right? And so I was in the post office, and we had a conversation about David said, I'd sure like to meet the activist mommy. And an email pops up on his phone at that moment from the activist mommy, from Elizabeth, that David had sent back in December. She just responded right then at that moment to an email he sent in December. I mean, it's amazing, right?
Amazing. Confirmation.
Praise God.
In her sharing my testimony on her page, somebody commented and said, well, he's still attracted to men, so what's the difference? And I don't really know where that came from, but let me just make this clear. No matter what our temptations, no matter what our flesh lusts after, that doesn't make us who we are. Our identity is not in our sin. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. And so.
So whether or not right now he has a propensity or an urging for men, is no different than Jeff having an urging for a cigarette. It's all sin. You understand
exactly.
That? Exactly. And so, or no different than me having an urge to look at porn.
those urges are always there. See, the urge is not the sin.
Right.
It's acting on the urge that is a sin. And I'll say this. I haven't said this to Dave. He's been here now for almost 24 hours. Not once has it entered my mind that he's a deviant. Not once. He's a guy. He's just a guy just like me. And when that guy said yesterday, "You still queer?" I had to chuckle. I hadn't thought about it. David, are you still queer? I hadn't thought about it. So whatever's happened in David is genuine. And that doesn't mean that he still doesn't have those same temptations that we all have, right? And the scripture tells us that there is no temptation that is common to man. None, no temptation that the Lord does not give us a way out. So some of us are serial adulterers. Not me. Some are. Some have a propensity to want to look at porn. Not me. I got victory over that. But that temptation is always there every time you turn on your computer.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you're looking at underage girls, right? So therefore you are a what? You are a kiddie porn. If you're looking under somebody 18 years old, you're looking at kiddie porn. Well, some of you have a propensity to look at kiddie porn. Now, I don't know what David's propensity is. I don't know what his urge is, but he has gained control of it. And that's why it's important for us to understand the need to flee immorality. When that urge comes up, run. Get out of there. If it's looking at a computer, if it's smoking a cigarette, if it's whatever, run from that temptation. I didn't mean to steal the phone. It is my show, though, right, honey? It is my show. So I'm allowed to do this, but I want you guys to understand this. When I am with David Arthur, which has now been for almost 24 hours, I don't look at him as a queer. Okay? I mean, I don't. And if he's having those urges, he's certainly in the control. Go ahead, Dave.
But that was a couple more minutes. You said it all, because temptation does not a sin make. And that was the point I was going to try to make, because of some of the comments that were on that feed. And I just wanted anyone to know that if you're struggling with it, God is faithful, and he honors our faithfulness.
He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you can withstand, but with the temptation will provide a way out.
Absolutely. And sometimes the thought that he'll provide a way out is the way out that he's providing you. He's reminding you that it's time to go. It is time to get out of there. And I'm telling you now, it was about 4 years ago when he gave me the ability to look at women and see women. Well, the very first time I looked at a woman in my life with lust, I knew that I didn't want to look at women like that. And I begged God to allow me to see women the way he sees women, because I didn't want to look at women the way I saw men. And so over time, he has given me that. I can look at a woman and I can see the beautiful gift that he has created them to be, regardless of their physical or their outer. I can see the inner. And so for anybody that is struggling, no matter what your struggle, just know that you don't have to struggle with that struggle because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, because he is faithful and he will grant you victory over that struggle.
Chad, I want to say this, especially to you. I've seen you still there. Let me check your CD. Chad's still there. Hey, Chad, I'd be glad to fly David Arthur down to one of your events. Love to be able to do it, because I think just like the reaction I saw yesterday. Is Chad on here? Yeah, he's there. So just like I saw the reaction I saw yesterday, people need to be around me. They need to be around me because of the unmistakable truth of his testimony. You only experience that by being around me. And have you guys ever? I know you have. You've been around somebody. You've been around a Christian, and when you go home, you get in your car, and you're driving home with your wife, you say, "That guy gives me grief. That guy gives me grief." You know what I'm talking about? David doesn't give. Ain't no creeps on David. Ain't no creeps. So I think that, Chad, we can talk about it off air. Whenever you have your next event down there, if you would like to. I know David would probably love the fellowship. But I think it is a great learning experience to see the power of a transformed life. And that's what he is. A couple more minutes, Dave. Go ahead. Anybody got a question for David here? Can you hear okay? Does anybody have a question for him? This is the delay. He must be boring. Is he boring you? Is that what you're telling me? Get on to the next thing. Let me get on to screaming and hollering and making big eyes. Is that what you want?
They want you, Coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really, really glad that you brought up that verse 13, chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, where there has no temptation taken you, but such
Jared,
as...
Jared, pull that up there. First Corinthians, is it 10, Larry?
10-13.
10-13. Pull that up on the screen, Jared. Go ahead, Larry. I'm sorry.
There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, this is in God's word. It is a true
statement. It's on the screen right now, folks. It's on the screen right now, verse 13.
It is a true statement. Those people who say that they really want to stop a habit, they really want to stop a bad habit, and yet they say, I just can't overcome it.
You're making God a liar, Larry. They're making God a liar.
God a liar. They're not making him not a liar. They're calling God a liar.
Amen. Yeah, George. Good point, Larry.
Hey, good morning. Hey, David, good morning. And yeah, I've got a question for you. What sort of success have you had in, like, helping other people overcome what you've gone through with some of the same issues? Or have you had success?
Well, you know, hang on a second, David, because it was interesting yesterday, because the guy we were visiting with yesterday has had a recent sickness. And I was able to say as we walked out of there, hey, he cured this guy from AIDS. He can cure you, too. And see, here's the power of David's testimony. I shared this yesterday. Wasn't no preacher, wasn't walking an aisle and saying a prayer, wasn't giving tithes and offerings. David cried out to God in repentance and cried for forgiveness from God. And God moved. And the point that I was trying to make yesterday to my friend was, hey, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to be holy. You just got to cry out in repentance for the sins you've done, and the Lord will make you whole, because here's the proof of it. Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
He definitely will honor Egypt. But, George, I have seen a lot of success for others, and how the Lord has used me in their life. But I have heard of even more. I've received, like, letters and messages and emails, just calls. And people saying, you know,
hold the mic closer.
This one moment helped me to see this and to overcome this. So when the Lord uses me sometimes to say something, and I don't know what I'm saying it for, I don't know why I'm even saying it, there's always a reason. And so, yes, I've seen quite a few. I just visited a young man who actually in Erie, Pennsylvania, and he told me, he said, I have to tell you, he said, you know, I've come out of the LGBT. I've followed you. He's following Jesus. He's following me on Facebook, and he's paying attention to the steps and how to go about it. And he says to me, he says, I have to tell you, I just told my pastor that I had a gun in my mouth one night, and something you posted had me thinking about God and changed my mind about taking my life. And it was none of me, none of me, none of David. It was all of him. It was all the Lord, because I don't even remember what I posted. When he tried to explain it to me, I had no idea what it was.
One man plants, another man waters. God gives the increase.
Amen.
Here's what I know. I know David will take this right. You guys remember back when they used to go to the fair, the state fair, the county fair, whatever, and they had the freak shows? You guys remember those? Bearded woman, two-headed, whatever. We all remember them. They don't do those so much anymore, because you're not allowed to make fun of people. People aren't allowed to be. In a strange sort of a way, there's that element with David, in that people have never really sat down, met, spoken with a tranny. And so they're fascinated. People are drawn to him because of that same freak element. If you know what, if not, you understand what I'm saying, right?
I know exactly what you're saying, because even when I give a testimony, it's the, I don't have to go, like when I, whenever I did street ministry, I didn't have to go out and say, hey, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to do this. And all I had to do was show them a picture of the old me and the new me. And automatically their flesh wanted those details. They wanted those seedy little details and they wanted to hear more. Oh, tell me more. Tell me more. And so after it all, they said, but how, you know, how did you do this? I didn't do it. Jesus did it, you know, and so he gets the glory, but it's the very details of that people feed off of. It's the element.
And see, that's the scripture tells us that an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Well, baby, here it is. And I saw that element yesterday in that living room that just like, oh, what? What? And he showed the pictures and he had the big boobs and long hair and processing that because of how we've been programmed. You know, anybody know an X1? You know an X1? And so that's why the enemy wants to silence him, man. Because he tears down every lie. Not born that way. You can come out of it. It's a mindset. Recruited into all those things that they don't want us to believe. All the truisms he carries with him. And they try to block him at every turn. And here's another thing that's really, really important.
Amen.
You know, we've joked about this over the last few days, but this is the truth. Christians don't want to hear his testimony. Because, see, David, tell them that story of the lady who said to you.
I know what you're going to tell. I want
you to think about this. Because I believe this is why pastors will not let David in. Because of this story he's about to tell.
I had just given testimony in a building, in a church building, and directly afterward, a woman came up to me and she looked at me and she said, why? Why would God heal you? Why would he heal the likes of you and not my 10-year-old daughter? Why would he save your life after all that you've done to children and people and giving people AIDS and all kinds of stuff? Why? And I had no answer for her. And the Holy Spirit just completely took over and said, because ultimately the Lord saved us both. Because if I would have died in the state that I was in, I wouldn't have went before the Lord. But and I told her, I said, your daughter went right into the arms of the Lord. So he saved us both. And if we sit there and try to figure out why he does anything, then we're going to be trying to figure something out that we have no comprehension of.
So, see, here's the point that I'm trying to make. Pastors won't bring David Arthur in because there's a lady sitting on the front row whose son is gay and can't come out of being gay. And so, therefore, rather than admitting that she denies the power of God, she denies the power of God to do that. They don't want to put her in that position. She feels bad about it. Oh, why would they heal David and not heal Timmy? And so pastors don't have answers.
Well, we saw that yesterday.
Yeah, we did. So they don't want to deal with it.
The first reaction from one person yesterday was, well, my mom was a Christian and she prayed for this. And then
she didn't
God
get healed.
Never healed her.
She didn't get
Why
healed.
Why not?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, George.
You know, Coach, it seems to me it's the same thing that pastors are doing with the abortion issue, because they don't want to, quote, right, hurt the feelings of the women that have had it. And, David, as I listen to you, man, I'm inspired, because you take away excuses. You are demonstrating the power of God working in your life. And isn't, as a minister of the Lord, isn't that what we're to do? Is we're always, all of us should be in the process of overcoming. I mean, we all have things we're still overcoming, but that's the victory and the power of Jesus Christ in the cross.
Amen.
So
Amen.
I commend you. I mean, I'm inspired listening to this. You know,
let's pull up Corinthians again. If you look there, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Now, you either believe that or you don't believe that. What do you mean he's faithful? Well, he will not suffer. He will not permit you to be tempted above that which you are able. But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. So I'm just going to say this real quickly. Which is a greater miracle? Him giving up a deviant sexual lifestyle or you giving up smoke? This guy gave up his entire identity. 30 years of an identity. You can't give up a cigarette? Well, because why? You're denying the fact that God's faithful. That he can't do what he said he would do. I heard Mark or somebody tried to jump in and I walked in. Go ahead and climb on in.
I was just saying what an inspiration David is to all of us. I mean, all of us don't say it all the time, David, but we're amazed by the walk you've had with Christ.
Hey, he's the bearded lady, isn't he? He's the bearded lady in the freak show.
We're just so thankful that you're on our side. I mean, that's the way I feel. I'm glad you're on our side. I'm glad that you're with Jesus. And I think we all couldn't say enough. And we all are here to support you, even when it gets tough, you know. So
amen.
Just make sure you reach out and you lean on us, you know, because we're here.
Well, keep praying for us because we're praying for an open door. And if that door opens, it's going to get turned up. Keep praying. Somebody else want to?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, do it. Hey, Jeff.
I just wanted to say that was inspirational this weekend. Listen to David.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed him quite a bit of the trip on the way back, and I know Pastor Bill's looking forward to getting him in on the weekend, whatever he's got scheduled. Pastor Bill's just ready to go with that. And I want to tell David I'm proud of him, but, you know, we can listen to Rusty and Flip and Pastor Bill and all of them over the weekend. I've told four or five Christian buddies of mine yesterday about David, and I told him the weekend was great, all the powerful speakers, but David was the most powerful speaker of the weekend.
The bearded lady, man! The bearded lady at the fair, right? There he was, right in front of us.
Man, I come out of there, that was just powerful, and I'm just proud to call David my brother in Christ. Thank you, David.
Amen.
Awesome, man. Awesome, man. It's all true.
Thank cool. Gosh.
Ian? Yeah.
To something that's been hitting me over the past couple of days is we got to realize the power of God, right? I mean, and you guys got to think, God became man. Divinity is in the Christian heritage. Your history is divine because of Jesus Christ. Like,
amen.
He
amen.
Has afforded us the opportunity to partake in divinity. Through his power, like,
mm-hmm.
and we shit all over it all the time, like, I don't know.
Yeah, because we don't understand it. See, we don't understand it. We don't have that. The eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, is what the word says, right? That our eyes of understanding might be enlightened. Your eyes have to be enlightened, and unfortunately, in our church, our eyes are blind. They're not enlightened. See, guys, listen. The truth is. David Arthur ought to be commonplace. In Christian circles, this ought to be commonplace.
Right.
But it's not. Because why? God is faithful, but God is faithful. We don't believe that. When it gets right down to it, David, God is not stronger than pornography. When it gets right down to it, God is not stronger than food. God is not stronger than alcohol. God's not stronger than drugs. God's not stronger than cigarettes. God's not stronger than divorce. God's not stronger than any of that stuff. And that's what it is. See, remember, in an evil and adulterous generation looking for a sign. They want some proof. Bearded lady right here beside me. The rubber man. You guys, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Of course.
He is a walking, talking proof. Yeah, George.
Hey, one more thing, though. You know, I've known you now, I don't know, going on 3 years, something like that.
Jeez, is that kidding?
Man.
No one
hears to believe, but yeah, my hair's a little grayer. But anyway, what the difference between you and what you're doing with David Arthur? This is how I see it. I think this is an important point, Coach. Since I've known you for 3 years, I've never known you to say or not say something based upon an offering that you will or won't get, or prestige that you will or won't get. And see, I think that's the issue. I think David Arthur would be commonplace all over America if the pastors would get some backbone and they quit worrying about those two things. Mm-hmm. And you just don't do it. You refuse to do it. And that's why we as men, we, you know, we're following you as you're following Christ. But that's why David Arthur has a platform to be able to do what he needs to
Amen.
Do.
So Amen, George. Thanks, because here's the truth. They will not have David Arthur in because they don't think God is faithful. And they can't explain to that lady sitting on the front pew why her son's still a homo. He can't. The Lord can't, or the pastor can't explain it. So he doesn't want the subject brought up because he's afraid that if David walks into that sanctuary and he stands up there and he talks about the power of God to change your life, Grandma's going to feel bad because her son is, you with me? And then rather than David coming and standing in the pulpit and giving her hope that he can come out of it, she's trapped into the lie that he was born that way, all that kind of stuff. And so they resist him because he's the walking, talking truth. Walking, talking truth. Powerful man. Robert Sellers just texted me this. David, it's for you. God bless you there, Big Robert. David's life shows Jesus is loving. How about that? In our sin, he is willing to show his willingness to heal our soul. Is that powerful? God is loving. Hey, he's a God of wrath. And he's a God of wrath. He's a God of mercy.
I remember a lady said to me, she said, oh, God loved you the way you were. I said, hallelujah, he loved me enough to want me to know his truth so that I shall be saved.
Right, and he loved you. He loved you enough that he would not compromise his standards.
Amen.
He's going to love you on his level, not on yours. Amen. You understand that, folks? God is love, but he doesn't love like we are, and he's not going to love on our standard. He's not going to compromise and lower the standard just because he really, really loves us, which, by the way, is what most of us as parents do, isn't it? Lower the standard because we love our children. We love them all the way to hell. All the way to hell. Hey, I'll keep going if you got a question for David. If not, I'll move on to something else. Anybody?
Hey, David, this is Glenn. You know,
Glenn's in Dallas.
Yeah, not in Dallas. We read stories about, in the Bible, about all the things that Christ has done, you know, the miracles that he's done, you know. But what we're witnessing, okay, like the apostles witnessed the things that Christ did, we're witnessing what Jesus did in your life. We're not reading about it. You're there live and in person. We're witnessing.
Living parable. He's a living parable.
You are a miracle.
Right. And even though we can't explain it, we can't deny it. Now, Glenn, I'm thinking about you down there in Texas. And I'm just wondering, Glenn, what would be the odds that your church would allow him to come in and give his testimony?
Man, listen, this program is going out. It's going to go out to about 80 guys, including the pastoral staff of the church that I attend. I'm still in the organized church. So we have a men's conference coming. We're going to have a men's conference later. I think in August. So I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to ask the question, all right? So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, David.
Well, but you understand my point, right? You understand
my
point. Hey, folks, there are people trapped in homosexuality right now. But there are also men in the church right now today whose children are going to get caught up in it. They don't know that yet. Their children are going to get caught up in it. And David Arthur could come to their church and equip them for the battle that's coming to them that they don't even know is coming, and the hireling won't open the door for him to be able to do that, right? Jared's pulled up 2 Timothy chapter 3. Know this also, in the last day, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such men turn away. From such turn away. Yeah, wow. Well, why? For this is the sort. What's the sort? He's going to come in and deny the power thereof. This is the sort which creep into houses and leave captive silly women and bearded women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And they're ever learning and they're never able to come to the mouth.
Let me just look at the situation that happened a few weeks ago. The reason why I left my institutional congregation or building was because I was speaking to a woman who was a new Christian who didn't understand why homosexuality was a sin, because she has an aunt and her aunt's partner who love God and she wants them to go to heaven. But in the process of me trying to explain to her why they can't as practicing homosexuals, the pastor, and I use that so loosely, the pastor says, oh, don't you worry about it. I believe there are practicing homosexuals who are going to heaven.
His own pastor, well, his own pastor said that.
Yeah, and guess what, pastor? The truth is not in you. You are a liar, and those people's blood is on your hands.
So, folks, let's ask ourselves a couple different questions. Can a practicing thief get into heaven? Can a practicing pedophile get into heaven? Is a practicing pedophile welcome in your church?
Not mine.
Should a practicing pedophile feel comfortable and welcomed in church? Should a practicing adulterer be welcome in church? Is a practicing adulterer going to heaven?
In a true church, no.
Well, let's say this a minute. Let's just take the term church out of this equation here. Is a practicing homosexual going to heaven?
Absolutely not.
Why?
The word says that if you practice such things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, and that is, and don't let your pastor twist what the kingdom of
Revelation God is. Revelation 21:8, Jared. Revelation 21:8. Let's go there.
And you will not inherit eternal life with Jesus Christ if you are practicing anything. That the word is so clear on that. It's black and white. And what I see right now with this, with what's going on with these pastors is that they want to make it gray.
Uh-huh.
And that's a bad place to be in. Because it's better to be on fire for the Lord, or it's better to be ice cold. Because if you're lukewarm, if you're in that gray area, he will spew you out of his mouth.
So our dog, our dog Daisy's getting kind of old. I don't know if you guys ever seen our big old dog here on the show or not. Daisy's starting to tinkle in the house. She's getting old. She's starting to tinkle in the house. And I've been jokingly, everybody gets mad at me here. I get the emails. Don't send me an email. I said, Daisy's about to get a bullet. Only because why? I love her. Don't miss this. I love Daisy. But she ain't going to do that in my house. You understand?
That's right.
I love her.
Amen.
But she ain't doing that in my house. No more. I'll put up with it for a little while. And sometimes she's gonna meet Smith and Wesson if she continues to do it. I'm going to put her out of her misery. And I'm going to put my wife out of her misery by putting Daisy out of her misery. Are you with me? So if I, as a human being, love my dog and my dog keeps peeing in my house, at some point I say, that's it. My son's dog's a big, I take care of my son's dog. Every day I take him out and take him for a run, big old German Shepherd. Love that dog. That dog would die for me. And I take Kaiser for a run, and I bring him, after he gets done running, he's got mud all over him. I love him to death. But he doesn't come in the house. I chain him up outside. You know, do you get cleaned up? You ain't coming in here. You ain't bringing all. Is anybody picking up what I'm laying down? It doesn't have anything to do with whether I love Kaiser or not, or whether I love Daisy or not. We have a standard in our home that you're not going to violate that standard and come in here. And it isn't amazing that the Lord's house has no standard? No standard at all in the Lord's house. You can be going over the corner and pooping or dribbling as you walk down the aisle, or bring the mud in and sit in the pew. Nobody cares. Everybody come right on in there, because we're taught to love everybody. Well, I love you. Wipe your daggone feet off before you come in the house.
Hey, Coach.
You ain't getting in. Yeah, Mark.
Our robes have to be white to make it to God's house.
Hey, Coach. They do, brother. Sorry. They got to be clean. They got to be clean.
Coach, you know, isn't that funny how the pastors have a different standard than, I mean, come on. That just makes too much sense.
You know, there's
hang on a second, Larry.
I think what you're saying too about that is that, like my mother, she said, I had a son, I did not have a daughter, and mind you, we weren't Christian. My mom was not a Christian, but she said, I had a son, I did not have a daughter. You will not come into my home.
I love you, but you're not going to come in here and pee
like that. Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to come in here and pee on the carpet.
That's exactly what she said to me, and it was because of that. That she didn't embrace it, that I didn't go even further than I went, because I respected and loved my mother enough to know that I wanted to go to her home and visit her. And so I wasn't going to wear makeup. I was going to cover up my breasts, and I was going to wear baggy clothes because I wanted to visit my mother, and I wanted to go into her home.
Isn't that something? So when Kaiser gets mud all over his feet, and he comes to my house, and I chain him up outside, and even though I love him, I'm not going to let him in the house, he sits outside and barks. He wants to come in. No, not with those dirty feet. No. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, there are those who would say, and probably rightfully so, but there's forgiveness. But remember, there's a balance in God's word. Those who practice such things. Now, you're a football coach. What do you practice for? So you can get better at it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's those who practice that lifestyle. There's those who practice these other activities. They do it because they like it and they want to put it in their lives and they desire to do it. That's practice.
That's now, right. And they go ahead.
That's different from those who are struggling with it. Struggling with it is not practice. Struggling.
Amen.
And that's why it is so important that as a believer Christian, if there's something in your life you struggle with, know that God will forgive. But know what his rules for forgiving are.
Yeah,
if you don't know what his rules for forgiving are, you're a shit creek, excuse my
friend. Because he's got a standard, right? He's got a standard. Jared, go to verse 1, Jared. Let's read down through this a minute. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to preach there. Everybody's going to heaven where there's a new one and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Oh, don't get distracted here. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall it be any more pain, for the former things have all passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Made David Arthur new. And he said unto me, write. For these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, I'm the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Who shall inherit all things? He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God and he will be my son. But the fearful cowards go first. The unbelieving and the abominable. Homosexuality is an abomination. And the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Wait a minute, I got to go one more verse. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked to me, saying, come, I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. There it is. There it is. There it is. So the fearful and the unbelieving shall not enter the kingdom. They ain't coming in the house. I love them, but they ain't coming in the house because we don't let mud in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Vinny.
Just want to say, you know, real love is pulling someone back from the precipice and not letting it go, not letting it go to hell because you care.
Not going out on the precipice with them, right? Right. You go out there to pull them back, but you ain't gonna stay out there.
No,
you're gonna try to pull them back, but you ain't gonna infect everybody else.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Anything else for David? Because he doesn't want to be a monkey grinder, and I don't want him to be either. We can move on to something else.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
I've got quite a few local pastors I know here in the county, so I'm going to be contacting. But I told Pastor Bill, I'm going to contact him anyways. I know, good luck. But they need to at least be contacted. Talking to Pastor Bill on the way back, and I told him, because we've had some dealings over the past 5-6 years with that UCC church up there, the Homo Church.
Yeah.
And we stood against them. They know me and Pastor Bill. They know me personally. I've got some friends, I got a couple cousins that are homosexuals that go to that church. And a neighbor I grew up with that goes to that church, she's a lesbian. I mean, I know quite a few people in that church. And I told Pastor Bill, I'm going up and I'm going to walk in the back door of that church and I'm going to go in and meet the new apostate pastor they have up there. They got rid of the other one. And I'm going to go in and share this with him and just let him know that David's going to be coming to Knox County, Shopton County, or at least offering the opportunity for him to come and hear the truth. So that's what I'm doing here in our county.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to do that in Columbus too, Coach. And I recommend everybody in their region do the same thing. I mean, David, just for this reason alone that we could offer you to a church is very powerful. Very powerful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
listen, don't let them wiggle off the hook because David's only a plane flight away. So if you find some place that will have him, we'll get him back in here. Hey, guys, you'll know the truth. And the truth, if you know it, will set you free. If you don't want to know the truth, if you want to believe a lie and all the stuff that goes along with it, then you're not going to be set free. And the truth is, he wasn't born that way.
Amen.
The truth is, there is no temptation but that which is common to man, and God is faithful. And he will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you can withstand. But with the temptation, he's going to give you a way out. And we are in such a politically correct environment in America. That even, see, if David Arthur, thanks, David. If David Arthur, somebody just put this in the chat. That's why I'm reading it. Who was it? JR said it. Somebody, whatever. If David Arthur was an ex-drug addict, they'd love to hear his testimony. If David was an pick anything, ex-thief, pick ex-convict, pick anything you want to, they'd love to have him. Here's where we are. The sex thing is such a politically correct sin. We ain't allowed to talk any truth about that. No truth about that. You with me, guys?
Oh, yeah.
It ought to tell us something, right? It ought to tell us about the depth of this evil and the spirit that is behind it. Really should. And so here we have a living, breathing testimony of someone who has come out of, healed from, use whatever term you want to, homosexual. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it.
Hey, Coach, I got an important question. Revelation 18:4 says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Why would you think, or why do we think, that putting David back into a brick-and-mortar church for his testimony is going to yield any fruit?
That's a good point, Sarge. That's a good point. That's a very good point. Because you know what? I guess because him speaking in a church is in fact speaking to the lost world. Sadly, I hate to say that, but that's the reality. I got 10 minutes left here. I went to Webster's yesterday, and I have to clarify something. Guys, we have got to get beyond labels. Labels. And I hear it in our language a lot. Maybe not so much here on the show or in the queue, but I hear it a lot, the division that they sow. Let me clip this on here. Liberals, conservatives, right wing, left wing, Republicans, Democrats. It's been my experience that that when we get into a serious discussion of these things, it never gets past those labels. I'm saying that because I had a conversation yesterday where immediately it went from liberal to conservative. Oh, yeah, well, you conservatives immediately went there. I want to make this very, very clear. Jared, let's go quickly to Webster's 1828. Webster's 1828. Folks. There's nothing wrong with being liberal. I'm liberal. I'm liberal on anything we can do to try to save an unborn baby's life. I'm liberal to use anything that I can to try to draw somebody out of homosexuality. I'm liberal in anything that I can do to try to bring freedom and liberty to someone who is trapped in pornography. I'm liberal in many, many things. Because why? Because I understand what the word liberal means. And most of us are throwing that term around and don't have any understanding of what the term liberal means. To all those liberals, those damn liberals. Really? Well, Jared, do we have it up there, Jared? Webster's 1828 dictionary. What's it say liberal is? Liberal says of a free heart. Free to give or bestow. Not close or contracted. Munificent. Bountiful. Generous. Giving largely as a liberal donor. The liberal founders of a college or a hospital. It expresses less than profuse or extravagant. Number two, it's generous, ample, large as a liberal donation. Number three, it's not selfish, narrow, or uncontracted. Enlarged, embracing other interests than one's own. As liberal sentiments or views, a liberal mind, a liberal policy. Liberal means general, extensive, embracing literature and the science generally. As a liberal education, liberal arts. The phrase is often but not necessarily synonymous with collegiate. As a collegiate education, a liberal is free and open and candid. As liberal communication, a liberal is large, profuse. As a liberal discharge of matter by secretion. Liberal is free, not literal or strict. Liberal construction of law, not mean, not low in birth or mind, licentious. Free to excess. Liberal arts are distinguished from mechanical arts. Okay, now stop a minute. Folks, I'm not against liberals. I am a liberal. I believe in freedom of thought. And freedom of exercise within certain boundaries. I am liberal, but I am not a leftist. I'm not a leftist, a God hater. You can be Christ loving and liberal, but not leftist. Leftist is communist.
Right.
Bill Clinton is a liberal. Hillary is a leftist. You understand? A true liberal believes in freedom. What we're seeing today that they're calling liberal is leftism. We see a leftism now that is not in free speech. They're trying to silence
speech. Those aren't liberals. Those are leftists.
Right.
They're leftists. The
right.
If they're liberal, they're open to all ideas. The expression, everybody gets to say what they think. A liberal would never be for classifying something as hate speech. A liberal would never do that because a liberal believes, do you remember the old saying? I don't agree with you, but I would fight for your right to be able to express it. Remember, that was liberal.
Right.
Are they fighting today for your right to express what you believe? No, because they're not liberals. They're leftists. You understand the difference?
Of course.
Coach.
So we have to be cognizant of that and not go down that road and start calling people liberal or the liberals. Liberals, guys, you're liberal. I'm liberal on a baby's right to be able to live. I'm very liberal. I think we ought to use whatever mess, whatever things we can to ensure a baby's right to live. I'm very liberal on that. I'm very liberal on educating our children in the things of the Lord. I think we ought to do whatever we can. Bring in whoever we can. I'm very liberal. Let's use every, whatever means necessary. That's liberal. Leftist is restrictive, tyrannical. Authoritative. That's leftism. That's not liberalism.
Communism.
Communism. It's an offshoot of it.
Thanks, so Coach, for clearing that up.
Our words matter, man. Words matter.
I've been wrong all this time.
Well, I got into the discussion yesterday, and I was taken immediately to liberal conservative. I won't go there. Because you know what happened? I'm in a discussion with this person who says they're liberal. I says, well, you think homosexuality is normal? She's a liberal, right? What'd she say? Well, of course not. See, she's not my enemy. She's just been told she is. Because she's been told she's liberal. And then she says, I think we ought to spread the wealth around it. In America, with all this wealth that we have, that we ought to be able to spread it to everybody, that nobody should be hungry. I said, I believe that. And then I said to her husband, sitting right beside her, do you want to have to pay for people that don't work? Well, hell no, because he ain't liberal like her. And she doesn't want to pay for people that don't work. But see, it's the confusion. It's the confusion. Do you have any idea how many people we help eat? I'm talking about Pass the Salt Ministry. Do you have any idea how many people we help? We're liberal. We're liberal, but we're not leftist. It's important we get this, man. It's important. Because now they've boxed us in. They've boxed us in. And liberals, because they see conservatives as the enemy, are voting for leftists. And they don't agree with leftists. Just a couple minutes left. Good stuff, isn't it? And that good stuff, I had so much more to show you this morning.
Fantastic. Somebody, hey, I just want to ask, somebody, which one of you guys... which one of you guys was Arnold Schwarzenegger, and which one of you were Danny DeVito, since you were twins this morning?
Me and David, I was, I would be Arnold, I think. I think I'm Arnold. Although, I've heard them behind my back say, hey, he looks like Joe Pesci. Now, I don't know what you think. Joe Pesci's about this high, you know?
Right.
So I draw the line somewhere. And by the way, that's very, very discriminatory to make fun of my height.
Hey, I want to mention the petition on abortion again.
Yes.
It gained 50 signatures between the time we had a show yesterday and the time the show started this morning. And let me check. I don't think any have been added since the show started. Nope, they haven't. So we are now on a scale to about 5.9 years. We'll get 100,000.
Yeah, we need.
Well,
we need to get
the Pope signs it. We'll see if the Pope signs it. I sent it to him, so we'll see.
Yeah, we know he isn't going to sign it. Well, hey, be praying for that door to open. They do not want the truth. I'll explain to y'all later on what's going on with it. Pray for open doors. Just pray for the truth. Because the scripture says you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know, it's going to set you free. And we don't hate homosexuals. We want them to be free. And if David Arthur gets the opportunity to go out and speak, he's bringing freedom to people. Hey, by the way, Rodney, if you're listening, I know you are. Give me a call, man. I want to go breakfast this morning. Call me, Rodney, all right? Hey, Rodney, call me. I left a message yesterday and you didn't get back. Call me. I want you to go out to breakfast with me and David this morning. Hey, bless you guys. God bless you. David was great. And we shall know the truth. And the truth, if we know, it's going to set us free. God bless y'all. See you tomorrow.